Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. So it's hilarious. You know, we start the show talking about the moves that the Predators have made. You know, not, oh, this is this happened, that. No, no, no. We start the show talking about the moves the Predators make, and the entire YouTube chat is all people yelling back and forth about Rand Carthon. It's amazing. Jared, why don't you get this excited about the Titans' moves? I was excited about Lloyd Cushenberry and Chidobe Awuzie, which I thought was a good move, and Calvin Ridley, which I thought was a good move. And I'm just not sold on, you know, banking on Legarius Sneed's knees. I think Mason Rudolph stinks as a backup quarterback. I'd much rather have a right tackle than a second $8 million running back, and so on and so forth. But everybody wants to throw the Titans a parade, and I am not going to be the one to stop. So Marcus Spears put out his top five most improved teams this offseason on ESPN. Number one, the Chicago Bears. Number two, the Jets, which is a little fascinating that, you know, you do play the Bears in week one, and you do play the Jets in week two. And Marcus Spears has the Titans at number three.
Three, I'm going to Tennessee Titans. This was kind of a under-the-radar acquisition this year. Calvin Ridley to the Tennessee Titans, to me, is going to be huge. Legarius Sneed, as we know, a physical lockdown corner. I know my dog RC loved that. But the explosiveness of Tony Pollard as well. This team got very explosive offensively with a young quarterback in Will Levis, who they're trying to see if he's the guy. Can he mature? He got a big arm. He can push it down the field.
Okay. He says right there, this team got explosive on offense, and Ridley will help. You know, Pollard, again, I think the explosion at running back is probably should be more Spears than it is Pollard, but that's just me. I mean, again, I hear you, but I really look at this and I think to myself two things about what he said. Number one, he says they need to figure out if Will Levis is the guy, which many of you have said, and I'm not sure I actually think that's what those moves are for. More on that in a second. The other thing is this, and I'm not saying that Marcus Spears speaks for all of ESPN, but if the Titans had such a great offseason, like everybody keeps telling me they did, like Marcus Spears wants to rank them and say they did. Now, again, I think they went out and got some good players, but I still don't know who the right tackle is. I still don't. How are they replacing Danico Autry? I have no idea. You know, that's 10 sacks that's out the building. How do you replace it? I don't know. But then why don't these people ever think that the Titans are going to win more? You know, I hear, you know, oh, the Titans have so improved this offseason. How many games are going to win? Six. Okay. Well, that's a good job doing all that improving. And that is the sentiment that is emanating from outside of this city. Inside of this city, a lot of people want to go ahead and make Will Levis a franchise quarterback. Inside this city, a lot of people want to start planning for the parade that is inevitable will be held, you know, after all the money the Titans spent in free agency and all of that. But I'm trying to figure out if we're going to rank the Titans as one of the most improved teams, how come the Titans don't win more? And then the second thing is this. He said in that cut, they need to figure out if Will Levis is the guy. And people talk about, we need to figure out if Levis is the guy. That's why I would understand you have to get him a wide receiver who is actually good. Ridley is. Unlike Treylon Burks, who might be good, but so far hasn't been good yet. I understand, you know, hey, we need more options in the passing game. Now, again, a second running back, I'm not so sure you absolutely need when you don't have a real tight end or a right guard, but that's a different discussion. But I actually don't think the money the Titans spent with a center, with a receiver, on a defense, albeit while letting Danico Autry walk, I do not feel as if it's about seeing what you have in Levis as much as I think it is about nurturing Levis to the point that he can be successful. Because again, I think a lot of fans are like, we need to know if Levis is the guy. And I think you're in the right church, but I think you're in the wrong pew. Because the mentality should be, what do they need to do to give this kid, and he is a kid. I sat down with him at the Super Bowl, and I'm like, this guy, he is a baby. What do they need to do to give him the best chance to be the best he can be? I know it's easy to say Mac Jones sucks, but Mac Jones made the Pro Bowl as a rookie, and then Bill Belichick decided to give him no help at receiver and make Matt Patricia his offensive coordinator. I'm not saying that Mac Jones, if he had had Bill Walsh as his head coach with Andy Reid as his offensive coordinator, I'm not saying that he would have turned into Joe Montana. I'm just saying I don't think Mac Jones had much of a chance. So the question when it comes to developing a young quarterback for me has got to be, what are you doing to give this kid the best chance to succeed? If I were to have a child, I wouldn't look at that newborn baby and say, okay, let's see if you can be a Rhodes Scholar. My approach would be, what do I need to do as a parent in order to give my child the best chance to become a Rhodes Scholar? And I am convinced that quarterbacks in this league, outside of a Peyton Manning or a Joe Burrow or something like that, I'm convinced that they're nurtured by their teams. I think a lot of us, you know, just assume a quarterback gets drafted and, okay, son, it's your team. And that's how you end up with Bryce Young, a good prospect, bombing out that first year in Carolina with no offensive line and no receivers. So when I think about all the moves the Titans have made, to me, this isn't about seeing if Levis is the guy. This is about giving Levis the best chance to improve so that he can one day become the guy. Some guys you could put right there with the greatest show on turf, Rams, and it does not matter who the coach is. That guy is never, ever going to be any good no matter what. That is inevitable. Like, there are some guys that just flat out suck. I think we can all agree. But Levis isn't that. So when I look at Levis, and everybody says he's a smart kid, he got a good score on the S2 in terms of the recognition and cognition and everything else, I'm saying, what have you done enough to give this kid the best opportunity to succeed? And I have a hard time getting there when I don't have faith at right tackle, don't have faith at right guard, and don't have faith at tight end. But you got an $8 billion running back, all right, to go with the other running back you drafted in the third round. It makes me a little uncomfortable. Again, let's not put this all on this kid to say, okay, take this team to the promised land. Let's put this on this team to say, hey, put this kid in the best position to have success. And I'll say this. Hiring an offensive guru coach is a step in the right direction. Hiring Bill Callahan as the offensive line coach is a step in the right direction. Signing a reliable receiver who I don't think is really a number one in the NFL, but better than anything else you could have gotten, I think that's probably a step in the right direction. Drafting a tackle is probably a step in the right direction. This isn't about figuring out if Levis can be the guy. This is about you doing your best in order to see if you can unlock that potential. Maybe it's not there, but this idea of him having to do it, no. You've got to meet him more than halfway. You've got to bring him up through it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Add that to the list. 615-737-1025. And now there's a lot of talk about Will Levis's mechanics. You know, Will said, I'm going to focus on my mechanics. And a former NFL quarterback, Jim Miller, says what he believes Levis is actually trying to do by working on his mechanics and what it means. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I love everything that I do with Rob, and I feel like at the same time, like, I'm able to take all those teachings and apply it to my own kind of process and mechanics, how I feel that suits me. So being able to take those teachings and then also be able to talk to Callie and take some of his opinions and a couple of considerations that he has and implementing those. It's just a mix of both, and then it's on me to decide what's best for me and what's most comfortable for me. And, you know, both sides are in on it in terms of their awareness.
That was Will Levis talking about his mechanics with his guru coach. and his real coach. And it's like, hey, you know, we want to get my mechanics down. We want to work. And I believe they talked a lot about working on his base and what he was trying to do. So there was a lot of talk nationally about Will Levis and his mechanics. I heard Todd Haley weighing in on it, the former coach, today, and he was like, yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, as long as they're not sitting there telling him what to do on third down, it's fine. You know, working on mechanics, and quarterbacks are always working on mechanics or whatever. But Levis was talking about wanting to work on his base. And former NFL quarterback Jim Miller, who spent 6 years in the NFL as a quarterback in Pittsburgh and Chicago, hosts a show now on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And he said, this is what I think when Levis talks about working on his mechanics. This is what I think he actually means.
When he says he wants to be more stationary, this is what it means to me. You want to have calm feet as a quarterback. You know, for example, if you were to watch Zach Wilson drop back last year, it almost looked manic, didn't it? It kind of looked this manic, you know. But you want to be able to drop back, calm feet in the pocket. They shouldn't be moving or jittery or anything like that. You know, think of Tom Brady, how calm his drops were, you know, or even, you know, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, his feet are moving if he's going to take off, but they're calm in the pocket in order to be in balance to have an accurate throw. And last year, that's what I noticed about Will Levis, is like, even in that big game that they won over Miami, his feet kind of were a little bit nervous. And I think that's what affects your completion percentage. He was only at 58%, which is, you know, a couple of ticks off of 60. But like you said, a lot of guys are close to 70 now.
Okay. Basically, Levis's mechanics are designed for him to calm down. I noticed it in his third start in the NFL that when they started to get behind a little bit against Tampa Bay, Levis decided, I got to go win the game. That's not how it works. And I remember the interception he threw against the Texans when they played the JV Texans and they lost. I think Case Keenum played quarterback and Devin Singletary ran the ball up the middle for about 200 yards, it felt like. And you know, it was really, I think, kind of the moment of truth for Vrabel when they lost that game in overtime to the Texans without half their team. But in that game, there was an interception he threw. He was on the run. He rolled out to the right, and there were two Texan defenders, one with DeAndre Hopkins and one with Treylon Burks. And as he rolled out and the play developed, two Texan defenders stayed with DeAndre Hopkins. Treylon Burks was wide open down the field. Now, there's no guarantee that if he had thrown the ball in the direction of Burks, that Burks would have caught it, because as we learned last year, Burks does have a hard time catching the ball. But if there's nobody on Burks and he's streaking towards the end zone for a touchdown, and there are two people on Hopkins, I would prefer the young quarterback throw the ball down the field to the guy who's wide open and is probably going to score a touchdown. He didn't. He threw it to Hopkins, because that's his default, right? When in doubt, throw it to DeAndre. It got intercepted, and the game totally changed. And I said to everybody, I go, that's a big moment for him. But what's a real big moment for him is what happens the next time. Because there will be a next time. Does his mind slow down enough for him to see what's happening and say to himself, as this is all going down, hey, I remember this the last time this happened. I remember this. And I remember that when that defender goes with DeAndre, I have plenty of time. I don't have to rush it. I'm okay. It's all right back here. And I can look and use my eyes and find Burks and throw the touchdown and win the game. That's why he's working on his mechanics. Because the game has got to slow down for him. When he got drafted, Rick Neuheisel, the old coach who, you know, now does a lot of college stuff, but he was doing a draft show on SiriusXM, and Rick Neuheisel said that what he would do if he was coaching Will Levis is he would take his cleats off. Because when you're a young quarterback and you're wearing turf shoes, you're wearing, you know, regular sneakers out there as opposed to your spikes, you have to slow down to keep yourself from slipping. You know, think about yourself. I don't want to say walking on ice, but think about yourself walking on a surface that isn't totally stable as compared to you wearing just your regular shoes and walking on gravel or asphalt. you know, a flat asphalt as compared to, say, walking on, you know, something that's uneven and you're kind of taking it slower. They put these guys in their shoes so that it slows them down. That's what Levis is working on. That's what Jim Miller's telling you he's working on. Now, this takes me back to last year. And you can't fix something that you may have already broken. And it's not worth crying over spilt milk, but it is worth recognizing the mistake I think the Titans made. Last year, when things weren't going well, I argued, people said, I remember Robbie saying it, you got to find out what you have in Levis. And I thought to myself, they're finding that out every day. Like the way he interacts with his teammates in the lunchroom, they're learning about him. The way he comes into the meeting room and the notes he takes and what he takes from the meeting room and takes out to the practice field, they're learning about him. When you say they need to see what they have in Levis, you're saying I need to see what they have in Levis, because you don't get to see him go from the meeting room to the practice field and how he performs on the practice field and his attitude and the relationship he has with his teammates and the coaching staff. You don't see all of that. So when you're looking at a lost season and there's a young quarterback sitting there, you, again, I'm talking about what Robbie said, you sit there and say they need to see what they have, but you're really saying you need to see what they have. And I, until the Atlanta game, sat there and cautioned everybody. I said, be careful with this young kid, because you threw Malik out there before he was ready, and there's no indication that Malik ever would have been good no matter how much time they gave him. But the way they treated Malik, never, ever, ever gave him an opportunity to succeed. I begged him, you know, after watching Malik in training camp, when I knew Malik was not ready, I said, you got to get a backup in here. You got to go get Nate Sudfeld or somebody like that, because Malik's not ready. And the no, he's ready. And all of a sudden, Malik's out there on Sunday Night Football. And once you lose that confidence, it's hard to get back. When we talk about the mechanics, and again, I'm not so sure how sold I was on the last coaching staff to be able to get Levis, you know, to get his mechanics correct. But I was looking at mechanics last year and saying they need to be hammering down his mechanics every day. I can't look at him and tell you, oh yeah, these mechanics are good or these mechanics are bad. I'm not trained in that. I don't know how to do that. I can tell you what's good on the radio. I cannot tell you what a quarterback's mechanics are. But I knew that he needed that kind of red shirt year to watch how Ryan Tannehill operates, to sit behind Tannehill and not be pressured, and I mean pressured both literally, you know, out there behind that terrible offensive line, but more so figuratively with the idea of having to carry the franchise on his shoulders when he runs out the tunnel, which with that terrible team he had last year, that's exactly what was going to happen. And so now I feel like the Titans and Levis, they're trying to make up for a mistake that happened last year, which was, it's not his fault that he had to play. And once he had the Atlanta game, you can't take him off the field. Once your young quarterback that you drafted in the second round, that you've circled and highlighted and said, this is our guy, once he goes out there and throws for four touchdowns in an NFL game and proves he can play in the NFL, unless you're 8-2 and the guy he's replacing is coming back next week and it's a good, once that happens, the horse has left the barn. He's the quarterback. But up until that point, I was very nervous about what putting him behind that line last year was going to do to him. Because I knew as a young quarterback, he needed to learn the game. Tom Brady's talked about how important sitting behind Drew Bledsoe for a year was for him. Patrick Mahomes with Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers, those years under Brett Favre. I mean, this is a cut from February of 2023 that I had in the archives that I want to play for you, because this is so important to me about how, instead of, like I said, instead of drafting the quarterback and saying, are you the guy, Johnny? It's more so, let's draft Johnny because we are going to build him up into the guy. And this is what Rick Spielman said about his evaluation. He was the Vikings GM at the time. His evaluation of Mahomes and what has happened to Mahomes since he's been drafted?
Yeah, no, I went back to where we had him coming out of college. Now, things change, as you can see. Patrick Mahomes would probably be the top of the list if you'd redraft like a lot of the experts do. But coming out, Patrick Mahomes still had a lot of holes in his game. There was no question about the arm talent, but he was a little bit of a gunslinger and questioned in that air raid offense whether he would fit into an NFL scheme. And I thought Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs, did a phenomenal job adjusting their schemes to make him who he is today.
I mean, he's telling you, I had my concerns. There were holes in his game, but Andy Reid, of course, great coach, Andy Reid has adjusted the team and probably adjusted Mahomes into what he is today. And so I'm not here to cry over spilt milk, because I think last year was almost a lost year for Will Levis, outside of the fact that, you know, now he knows what playing in the NFL is like a little bit. But he is, I think he's kind of playing catch up. I think that there's a little bit of this that I was really worried about last year of like, hey, you know, running him out there before he's ready. And I mean, I think that there is something to that. Now I feel like with the work that they have from a mechanic standpoint, those are things that they should have been drilling down with him last year.
Is there a worry that he's an older prospect as a quarterback and he's still working on his mechanics and base?
I think that they all kind of always work on their mechanics and base anyways.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of just like an evolving kind of thing. But I don't know. It seemed a little elementary to be worried about that as a, like a 25 or 26-year-old quarterback, but maybe not.
I'm going to say no. You know, I'm going to say no. Then obviously it's different with an Anthony Richardson who's 23 as opposed to Levis who's going to be, what, 26 or whatever. I think there's probably a little bit of a difference, but I'm going to say no. I mean, the truth is Levis and Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson, I think, all have to make up for lost time, which was last year. In the case of Levis and Young, it's that they had terrible teams in front of them. And in the case of Richardson, it's that he got hurt right off the bat. Let's get some of your thoughts in on this. Again, we'll use the YouTube chat, I guess. 615-737-1025 is the phones if you want to weigh in that way as well. And then coming up next, Brian Hoyer, recently retired, I guess, getting into the media. Brian Hoyer talks about exactly what he said, the second-year quarterbacks, and what he thinks of Will Levis. And I think a lot of Titan fans are going to like this. We'll get to that coming up next here on the program. Let's talk Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love Hiller. That's right. Hiller is celebrating 34 years of business this month. That's unbelievable. Hiller's as old as me. They're bringing the celebration to you with their birthday bash. So this month until July 31st, enjoy a free smart thermostat with a select HVAC system, free water tests and free leak detection and shutoff valves with tankless water heaters. And of course, buy 10, get 2 free landscape lights. It's really simple. Celebrate Hiller's birthday bash by visiting happyhiller.com today for details. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today.
How difficult is it as we look at second-year quarterbacks? You've got guys like Bryce Young and Will Levis who are both learning new offenses. The coach and the offensive coordinator that was there with them in year one is not there in year two. So how difficult is that for a quarterback to start to, we saw it with Trevor Lawrence, you know, kind of have a tough first year and then gets a new coach, new system, goes into year two. What is that transition like versus somebody like CJ Stroud or Anthony Richardson who had consistency in the coaching ranks?
Yeah, that's tough. I think, you know, for me, I remember, you know, after my rookie year, just swimming all year long. And then you come back in OTAs your second year and things just start to click. And so, you know, the guys like CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson who have consistency in what the plays are and the playbook is, that gives them a more advantage over these other guys because, yeah, they played and they were an NFL rookie quarterback last year, but now you have to kind of restart your frame of mind of learning the plays, learning the formations. And so I remember my rookie year. For me, it was such a struggle to learn that I just focus on my job. And there's times I'd break the huddle and Julian Edelman was a rookie with me too. And he'd be like, hey, what do I have on that? And I would kind of look at him and I would just snap the ball because I'm just trying to work on my job. And I would just hope that he remember what he had. And as the year went on, you get to know a little bit better what you're supposed to do and what the other guys are supposed to do. So now, you know, guys like Will Levis, they have to kind of relearn a new system and not only their own job, but the other 10 guys' job as well.
That was Brian Hoyer on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I think Brian Hoyer's retiring and trying to get into the media game because last week Brian was doing like one day on NFL Live, one day on NFL Radio, one day on, and I found that to be very insightful. Again, saying that, hey, Levis is going to have to kind of start from scratch here. And it goes back to an issue that I have with the Titans, which is this whole musical chairs of management that they've been playing. You know, the owner, clearly the owner values collaboration between the general manager and the coach, but I don't exactly mean when I say collaboration, I don't mean it in the way that they've been using it the last 2 years. But, like, she put John Robinson and Mike Vrabel on the same timeline with those contract extensions right before she turned around and fired Robinson. Because at that point in time, she knew, like, hey, I want Mike and I want John to be hand in hand and I want them to go forward. And while I think Vrabel and Robinson both did things that I didn't agree with, at least I understand that philosophy and I do think that that philosophy is correct. Since then, it's been, that was John Robinson's fault, fire him, but it's none of Vrabel's fault. Then it was, bring in a new general manager, tell the general manager and Vrabel to work together. Now it's, well, that's all Vrabel's fault, bring in somebody else new. And so I don't necessarily like that, because again, it's like there's all these moving pieces, and it's going to take a long time for the Titans to kind of get everything down pat, squared back to one, and ready to go with a young quarterback. So I guess that's just a philosophy that I don't agree with. And I also think that there's a chance that the owner could go crazy if the team doesn't win this year, because unfortunately that's what we've seen out of the Titans the last 2 years. Now, Brian Hoyer was asked straight up, this is Amber Theo Harris, who was his co-host on NFL Radio, was asked straight up what he's seen so far out of Will Levis and what he thinks. And here's what Brian Hoyer said.
What's your opinion on Will Levis in general? As a quarterback, what do you think the potential is, the ceiling, the floor for Will Levis?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think, you know, for me, he's kind of in that Josh Allen category where his skill set is. He's an athletic guy. He's got a big arm. He can throw. He can move. He can run. I think he's learning that you can't take hits the same way in the NFL as you did in college. In college, he was probably the same size as some of these linebackers. In the NFL, it's a little bit different story. Those guys know how to hit. And, you know, I think the fact that they're trying to refine his footwork, his mechanics, maybe that keeps him in the pocket a little bit more. You get to your second, third read, take some of those hits off of you. But I think when you look at his raw ability, what he's able to do, and, you know, I got to see a lot of his highlights when he was coming out. You know, he's jumping over guys. So that's where you see the Josh Allen comparison. But I think a big, strong, talented thrower, you know, really has good zip on the ball, especially for being a guy who's, you know, pretty muscular. You don't see too many quarterbacks that have the muscles that Will Levis has. And that's because as a quarterback, you want to be able to move fluidly. And sometimes having those big biceps and big chest muscles kind of restrict you a little bit. But for being a guy who is pretty jacked, I mean, I think he throws the ball really well. And to kind of narrow down, working on his footwork this offseason will really help him.
Okay. Seemed very positive right there from Brian Hoyer. And also seemed very thorough there from Brian Hoyer. And this is going to sound crazy. This is a little bit of a tangent that doesn't necessarily have to do with Levis. But Ian, did you hear that line where he said he watched a lot of his tape coming out?
Yeah.
Do you know what that makes me think?
What's that?
That Josh McDaniels had Brian Hoyer acting like a coach.
Doing some scouting?
Yeah. Being like, hey, Brian Hoyer, you tell me what you think of this guy.
Would make sense. I mean, he's probably better coach than he is player at this point.
Well, and it would align with McDaniels, who doesn't trust anybody except for his guys. We talked about my guy syndrome earlier today, which is very prevalent throughout pro sports. But we talked about my guy syndrome. Nobody has my guy syndrome like Josh McDaniels does. You know, runs off Jay Cutler because he's trying to get Matt Castle. And then ends up not getting Matt Castle. But it's my guy. Gets rid of Derek Carr. Not that I think Derek Carr is very good, but goes and brings in Jimmy Garoppolo, who I think sucks, because that's my guy. Just a little tangent there. But he talked about how, you know, there's some Josh Allen comps. Now, I do agree about the whole muscular thing. I do think that, and I thought I saw, you know, a workout video of Levis that was posted or a workout of the Titans that was posted, and I felt like Levis was getting less yoked. Which I'm not saying don't be in shape. I mean, be in shape. but I think he was getting a little less yoked, which, again, for his position, I think is a good thing. Now, I remember years ago, the Mets had a bunch of really good pitchers, you know, that were young pitchers and threw really hard, and, you know, DeGrom and Syndergaard and Matt Harvey, and those guys were all kind of coming of age, and they kept getting hurt. And Tom Glavine was doing a Braves broadcast, and he said, look, back in my day, guys weren't trying to be bodybuilders. And, you know, I think that there's probably something to that. Then I see Ozzie Guillen is doing the White Sox pre- and post-game shows. And he said, when I played, guys ate 10 hamburgers before the game because you can't pull fat. And it is kind of funny, but when you think of the quarterback, and he's talking about, you know, hey, be looser, be, you know, it's not about, you know, being a world strong man. I think it was Tom Brady that said muscles are for play in the game, not for show. Just fascinating take there from Brian Hoyer. This one guy, Steve's going crazy on the YouTube chat, Ian.
The guy's going, I saw that.
I think I have blown his brain up.
It was hard to follow all the stuff he was kind of rambling about. So.
I mean, it's very conspiratorial about me, about, like, again, I mean, I just because of Ian, did I not say to Andrew Burnett the other day when the Predators were wheeling and dealing and making these moves, did I not say to him, I don't really like congratulating people on moves that they've made because we don't know if they're going to work or not.
Yeah, you did say that.
That's how I feel, period. I'm not sitting here telling you that the Predators are going to win the Cup. But again, it turns into you don't love the Predators moves. You don't love the Titans moves. You don't this. And so it's like this whole long thing this guy's going crazy about, to the point that it's kind of getting crazy. Somebody says that the same guy, this is the guy we're talking about, because I'm talking about the holes, right? Hole at right tackle, hole at right guard, hole at inside backer, hole at safety, hole at tight end. And I can live with Chig at tight end. As much as I don't want to live with Chig at tight end, I can live with Chig at tight end. But I can't live with what they've got at right tackle. And he says, the Preds still have holes too, Jared, especially at goalie, and you're not talking about that. At goalie?
No hole there.
I think that's the one position where they have the least amount of holes of any team in the NHL. They've got a starter. They've got a backup. They've got a long-term top prospect. They've got a goalie signed for the next 9 years, and they've got the top prospect at goal as well. They don't, in fact, the Predators right now don't have any holes. That's the point of free agency, is they went out and they filled their holes. I guess you could argue that second line center, you know, that's kind of a concern. They're going to put Tommy Novak there, but they may move Stamkos over there. You could argue that. And then the same guy says the Preds have done more management and coaching flipping than the Titans. What? The Predators never fire people. They didn't even fire David Poyle.
Their GM definitely has not had any turnover. You know, coach has had a little bit more turnover the last couple of seasons, but, I mean, the Titans there for a hot minute were changing GMs and coaches every few years when you went Fisher and then Munchak and then Wisenhunt and Malarkey, then Vrabel, and that's quite a bit.
Think about this. The Titans fired their coach after making the playoffs for the first time in 10 years and the first time in winning a playoff game in like 13. And they fired the coach after that. The Titans fired their GM after 3 straight playoff appearances, 2 division titles back to back, and they had an 88% chance at a 3rd straight division title. I mean, to me, there is no comparison. No comparison at all. And I don't mean to do this because, like, look, the NFL is a dog-eat-dog world. And so is the NHL. Though the NHL is traditionally more of a fire-the-coach sport than football, if you can believe that. But there is no comparison between the Predators and the Titans when it comes to management stability. The Predators are stable to a fault. The Titans fire somebody every other year. What are we talking about? 615-737-1025. So Marcus Spears has the Titans as his third most improved team. And there was one team in his top five that, as much as I like this guy, I'm not sure that he's going to be the saving grace that everybody thinks he'll be. We'll get to that next. Let's talk Window Nation. Did you hear today about how hot the heat index is going to be tomorrow and the rest of the week? It is July. July and August in Nashville are brutal. And if you have bad windows, if you've got inefficient windows, you will have high utility bills all year long, and you don't want that. Window Nation sells some of the most energy-efficient windows that you can possibly buy. And Window Nation was recently ranked on the Forbes list of best window installation companies. Again, I've had my experiences with Window Nation. I trust them implicitly. I can't tell you about the other companies. I can tell you about Window Nation. That's right. And right now, for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free. Plus, zero down and no interest or payments for 2 years. Stop paying more than you have to by scheduling an in-home estimate right now. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. Again, for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free. Zero down, no interest or payments for 2 years. 866-90-NATION, Window Nation, my company, windownation.com.
And last but not least, I'm going Baltimore Ravens. And I know they had some guys leave, but Derrick Henry was enough for me to put them in the top five. If Todd Monken, as I've said a thousand times, does what the Ravens do best and are physical at the line of scrimmage when they get in the playoffs, because they are getting in the playoffs, Derrick Henry may end up being the guy that we have conversations about being potentially league MVP, about being in that conversation, and then especially when we get in the playoffs, being able to carry a load for the Baltimore Ravens that could walk them into the Super Bowl.
Whoa now, Marcus Spears. He's saying, hey, we may be talking about Derrick Henry as league MVP. And if you look at the Ravens offseason, they lost their right tackle. They replaced him in the draft. They lost their right guard. They're going to replace him internally. You know, they've lost guys, and they didn't replace all of them, right? They lost the linebacker. He went to Pittsburgh. They didn't really replace him. Now the Ravens are a team that can replace within drafts pretty well, so I understand why they feel that way. But they signed Derrick Henry, and TV is saying, oh, my God, I think that this might be, what was it Marcus Spears said? MVP. They always tell you about TV players. You know, oh, if the Dallas Cowboys get their hands on a TV player, even if the guy's not good anymore, I mean, they will talk about it day. If Odell Beckham Jr., who hasn't mattered for 3 years, if Odell were to sign with the Cowboys, it would be wall-to-wall talk because Odell is a TV player. I think Derrick Henry's a great player. I love Derrick Henry. If you've listened to this show, you know that I've even been a supporter of Derrick Henry's before the coach of the Titans supported Derrick Henry. But I'm still not sold that Derrick Henry is really the end-all, be-all for the Baltimore Ravens, the way that everybody like Marcus Spears right there is making him out to be. And I'm going to tell you why. Number one, it is impossible for me to envision Derrick Henry winning league MVP. If Derrick Henry cannot win league MVP in a year in which he runs for 2,000 yards on a team with no defense, then he may just never win league MVP, period. They may never give it to a running back again, which I think is likely. But also, if Derrick Henry is having a great season, the winner of the league MVP award is going to be Lamar because of what that will do for Lamar on faking it to Derrick and running with the ball or faking it to Derrick and throwing the ball. But I still don't think that Derrick Henry is as big of a deal to the Ravens as Derrick Henry would have been had he gone to the Cowboys. The Ravens last year were close to the Super Bowl, but they didn't make it. And they didn't make it because they can't run the ball. The Ravens have been able to run the ball since Lamar walked into the league. They ran the ball with Mark Ingram. They ran the ball with Gus Edwards. And they're going to run the ball fine with Derrick Henry. They ran it with J.K. Dobbins. They'll be able to run the ball. The problem with the Ravens is that at some point in the AFC playoffs, Lamar is going to have to outshoot one of these quarterbacks that is Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. At some point, Lamar is going to have to outshoot that guy. And I don't know if Lamar can. Lamar and the Ravens are the best team in the NFL, and they will get better at this with Derrick Henry when they have a lead. You get down 10 points to Lamar, it's over. Because either Lamar will run it and gain four, or Lamar will hand it off and they'll gain five, or Lamar will throw it to one of the tight ends and they'll gain 13, and now the clock's running and the chains are moving and the defense can rest up, and the Lamar's great at that. What Lamar can't do, or at least hasn't done yet, and we're starting to get to the point to where we have enough data that tells us Lamar can't do this, is he can't outshoot the top passing quarterbacks in the league. Go back to last year's AFC Championship game. Kansas City took the ball to start the game because they wanted to get the lead and make Lamar play from behind. Why did Baltimore lose the game? Two plays. Zay Flowers trying to reach the ball, which is not Lamar's fault, but Zay Flowers trying to reach the ball into the end zone and L'Jarius Sneed knocking it away, and the interception that Lamar Jackson threw into the end zone down by two scores in the fourth quarter because Lamar just said, screw it, got frustrated, and tried to play hero ball down the field. That's not his game. The kind of player Lamar Jackson needs, he needs A.J. Brown. The kind of receiver that is so big and so strong that he can just throw it in AJ's vicinity and AJ can go up and get it, or AJ can outbox the guy in order to get the ball. That's the player Lamar needs. Derrick Henry will be nice for what they already do well. But when I'm looking to make my club better, I'm looking at where am I deficient. And I'll use the Predators as an example. Why did the Predators lose the series to Vancouver? Because they were awful on the power play. They couldn't score on backup and third string goalies. What did Barry Trotz do? Went out and got a guy that had 19 power play goals last year. That addresses a problem. Derek, and I love him, doesn't address a problem that the Ravens have. Derek, I believe, would help the Cowboys more, because Derek does address a problem they have, which is putting the ball in Dak's hands too much. But I know Marcus Spears says, you know what, I think even though the Ravens did almost nothing except for add Derek Henry, I think they're one of the most improved teams because of Derek. Are you really improved if all you did was get better at what you already do? Like if the Predators went out into free agency and instead of adding Steven Stamkos, they went out and they added another goalie, wouldn't we be saying, well, wait a minute, you're already good. Why are you doing that? That's what I see Derrick Henry to the Ravens as. And I love Derrick Henry. And I hate the Ravens. But I just don't think it's that much of a needle mover as everybody's making it out to be. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the goalie position, Barry Trotz signs UC Soros to an 8-year extension. So it's really a 9-year deal. So we signed Soros for 9 more years. Everybody in the NHL world just assumes that's the end of Yaroslav Askarov. Barry laid it out today on the Midday Show what they're actually thinking. And I know you're going to think this is crazy, but I don't think enough people are going to hear this. So we'll do it next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Let's talk Twice Daily. I love Twice Daily, Twice Daily. They are just fabulous when it comes to what they have to offer over at Twice Daily. And again, I have been talking about Twice Daily for forever. And what I love about Twice Daily is I do love the fact that when it comes to Twice Daily, they have all of the best made-to-order stuff right then and there. Have you ever wondered why it is named Twice Daily? It is named Twice Daily because you can go for breakfast in the morning and you can get a bagel. You can get a French toast bagel. You can get a bagel. You can get eggs. You can get meats. You can get cheeses. You can get whatever. You can get a croissant. You can actually get a waffle chicken sandwich. I mean, they got all the breakfast there. And then you can go at night. You can go in the middle of the day. You can get lunch. You can get dinner. You can go there twice daily. It's great. I mean, maybe they named it after me because I love going to Twice Daily. And the snacks at Twice Daily are the real deal. They're made to order, and you can get a huge warm pretzel with dip, a 3-piece chicken tender snack, spicy boneless chicken wings, and more. I love doing it. I can order in store right there at the kiosk, or I can go to the I can go to the made-to-order app right there with Twice Daily. All fresh and tasty, priced just right for your budget. That's Twice Daily. Twice Daily, what are you craving?